This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, Republican from the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on congressional Democrats today saying they didn't plan on passing a budget plan for this year, and House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer suggesting that middle-class tax rates will have to increase. Congressman Conaway is also a member of the House Armed Services Committee, so we want to get his thoughts on the controversy surrounding the commanding Afghan General Stanley McChrystal towards the end of our conversation. And, sir, thanks very much for your time today.
Well, Greg, good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we've been hearing about the fact there may not be a formal budget presentation, a formal budget approved by the Democratic majority. They can still go ahead and pass separate appropriations bills. What's the significance of them not coming forward with a formal budget here?
Well, they don't have to own up to how badly things really are under their leadership. The budget that they would have to adopt would show a five-year extension or 4 years of guesses plus the 1 year of spending that they'll have to approve, and it looks really ugly because they're not about to cut spending. So it allows them to hide from reality. I'll use their own words against them. John Spratt, chairman of the Budget Committee, said, if you can't pass a budget, you can't govern. Steny Hoyer himself said budgeting is the most fundamental piece of work that we do up here. And, of course, this was said when the Republicans were in charge and they didn't like what was going on. But we'll just use their own words and that to explain exactly what's happening. Budget sets the total amount to be spent. It's a gentlepersons agreement between the House and the Senate. It's not law. The president doesn't sign it. But it sets a cap on spending. So by not having a budget, there's no real way to rein in the nonsense that's going to be going on during the appropriations process because you don't have a gauge, you don't have a marker. Hoyer did say he was going to try to spend less than what the president's budget proposal was back in February, but there's nothing that that holds him to that. And as you've seen with the president's promise about tax increases on middle-class America, it's hard to hold those slippery boys to their comments.
So is it about the freedom to spend more than perhaps Congress would have allowed in a formal vote, or is it more about the PR game heading into November?
It's both. This will be the first time since the Budget Act was passed in 1974 that the House has not passed a budget. Now, there have been several years where between the two houses we couldn't agree on it, but this will be the first time that the House has not stood tall and said, here's a plan, here's a spending plan, here's what we're going to do. And it's under Speaker Pelosi's leadership. They just don't want their members to have to go back in November and fess up to how bad things really are by having voted on a budget. If you look at the president's budget, it shows cumulative deficits of $8.5 trillion over the 10-year budget window that that he's wanting to that's his vision for our country. Included in that $8.5 trillion is trillions of dollars of tax increases that begin January 1st of this year, this coming year. And they spend all of those new taxes that are going to get collected when the current rates expire on December 31st. So it's an ugly picture at every step. And by passing a House version of that, they would have to fess up to how grim things really are. And it's impolitic for them to do that. They just don't want to face the music formally like that. They can try to pass individual appropriations bills or more likely one large omnibus bill to avoid the accountability.
Congressman, I think the vast majority of Americans, certainly those who will vote, are aware that we're running record deficits. Our national debt just crossed $13 trillion. So to put it in black and white ink, or maybe red ink, how big of a difference would that make in the minds of voters, do you think?
Well, I think I know what the voters in District 11 are telling me when I go home, and I was home during the Memorial Day week, and spending, the deficit, and the reckless growth in government is on the front of everybody's mind. It came up. I did 11 town halls. Every single one of them, the script was exactly the same. Just the faces changed as to who was telling me how badly they think things are going. I had a town hall meeting yesterday afternoon in Midland, and we talked. It's about all we talked about was growth in government spending and the threat that this is to our grandchildren's way of life. And it's, in my view, it's a far greater threat than the Taliban or the Islamic jihadist, Al-Qaeda, whoever you talk about. Those folks might kill a few Americans, but they're not going to kill all of us. This growth in government, this reckless spending binge that we're on, will fundamentally change the way our grandkids' lives will be led if we don't do something about it.
Congressman, we're also hearing comments from House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer today saying that with some of the Bush tax cuts set to expire here at the end of the year, his goal is to extend some middle-class tax cuts, but he says that's not sustainable, that the middle class will be seeing higher taxes soon. What do you make of his assessment that that will be a necessary step in trying to reverse our current fiscal situation?
Well, I think he's given up on the harder, better approach, and that is cutting spending. I'm not willing to say we need tax increases at this point in time. I am willing to say we need to spend less money and just to simply try to tax folks who President Obama promised over and over and over again during the campaign and over the last 17 months that he's been in charge that he wasn't going to do. It's pretty telling that the number two guy in the House of Representatives has basically given up on that pledge to not raise taxes. But to abandon that that promise that the president made without a whimper of an attempt to cut spending is irresponsible in my view.
Congressman, in our last couple of minutes here, let's move to the story that's probably gotten the most political oxygen today, and that's the Rolling Stone article in which General Stanley McChrystal, our head general in Afghanistan, is quoted in very candid statements that are not very flattering towards a lot of different members of the Obama National Security Team. He's being summoned to Washington. He'll be meeting with the president and other members of the National Security Team tomorrow. The reaction seemed to be running along a number of different lines. Most people think he probably shouldn't have said it, but there's a big debate as to how accurate his comments are about how this administration has performed on its Afghanistan policy. What's been your reaction to this story today?
Well, I haven't had a chance to read the Rolling Stones article. I do know Stan McChrystal. I trust Stan McChrystal. I told him that face-to-face when we were talking about what he's trying to get done. There is no one in on our team more qualified to lead this fight in Afghanistan than Stanley McChrystal. On the other hand, he works for the president, and it's certainly to criticize in a circumstance where it gets quoted or somebody else hears it is not the way you lead. I think he's probably going to go to the woodshed tomorrow, and the president will have to make a decision. Do I trust him? Do I understand what happened? What the circumstances were? And do I still have confidence that he can lead the fight? If he looks at America and says, I still trust this guy to lead this fight, then I'm fine with that as well. But I think that, McChrystal apologized, and for my money, I think we should just simply move on and chalk this up to good experience and something that certainly under McChrystal's command won't happen again.
Last 30 seconds. Are you satisfied, sir, with the way the Afghanistan policy is being pursued right now?
Well, I think none of us are satisfied in the sense that we want our kids out of there. We want this Kabul government under Karzai to be up and running and working. We want the Afghan National Police to be further along than they are. We want the Afghan National Army to be further along. We want the Afghanis in charge of their own deal. So, but given the circumstances on the ground and what's happening, I think we're doing the work that has to be done, and no doubt it's hard work. We've got additional troops that are coming in there to finish up. With the promise of the number of troops that the president said he would put in there. We've got tough circumstances to deal with in Kandahar. McChrystal has said that we're going to go in there, and they've not yet started that that operation, and it's going to be very hard. We all want this thing to be going much quicker.
Congressman, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Greg, it's great to be with you. Thanks, buddy.
Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th Congressional District, member of the House Armed Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.